بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our 16th session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen, the sharh of al-Imam al-Nawwi and Ibn Rajab's yani hadith, the collection of 40 hadith and the additional hadith Imam Ibn Rajab added to them, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, our hadith is hadith number 11 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Before we look at that hadith, we're going to go back and look at some of the matters that we discussed in the previous session last week related to hadith number 11. Huh? 12. Now, tonight's hadith is hadith number 12. And last week's hadith, we want to look at it just briefly, hadith number 11, from the question and study guide for lecture number 15. First question being summarized, the main topic or subject of hadith number 11. The main topic of hadith number 11. What's the main topic? Main theme, topic, subject. Now, fadl, Zaki. Okay, now, the command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave those things which you are in doubt about, and to yani instead go to those things which do not contain any doubt. Question number 2: who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi and the muhaddith. Talib. Ibn Ali. Now, the narrator is Abi Muhammad Al-Hasan. Yani his name is Al-Hasan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? Which, huh? At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. Rahimahumullah. The third question mentioned two honorable descriptions given to the narrator of this hadith as it came in 40 hadith. Now,
a beautiful flower that has a beautiful scent.
Rehanat al Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
He was also known for his outward beauty as well as his beauty of his morals.
Okay, in terms of his description.
Right.
But the in the isnad of the hadith, Imam Nawawi mentions, in the mention of the narrator, he mentions two descriptions. One of them is the Rehana of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other one, Sibti Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his daughter who? Fatima radiallahu anha. The fourth question mentioned a third description of honor given to the narrator of this hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him with another description. Naam?
Sayyid.
Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pointing to him, said, "This son of mine, yani inna ibni hadha, that he will be a sayyid." Yani because what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at his hands would reconcile between two great armies of the Muslims. And the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafizullah, mentioned that the meaning of Sayyid, the Ra'is, the head of the people, and the person who has a high station, yani makana,
great respect,
yani mu'azzam, naam, the person who has this extreme, yani high respect for them, yani amongst their people. The fifth question mentioned another hadith covered previously, yani the hadith number 6 from 40 hadith, that resembles last week's hadith. Another hadith the Shaykh mentioned in the explanation that resembles this hadith. He said, which hadith? Naam? Hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu. And the general meaning of that hadith? أمور مشتبهات نعم
لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فما نفقه في البحث فقد استبرى لدينه وإرضه وما وقع في الشبهات وقع في حرام.
جيد, that's the part of the hadith that we're concerned about. ما شاء الله, جزاك الله خير, بارك الله فيكم, أحسنت. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ of Nu'man and Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, where he said that he heard that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna al-halal bayn wa inna al-haram bayn wa bainhuma umur mushtabihatun la ya'lamuhunna kathir min an-nas." Yani that which is halal is clear, and that which is haram is clear, and between these two clear matters are certain matters which are, yani mushtabihat, yani they are not clear, they are dubious, they are unclear, yani there are things about which there is doubt: is it halal or is it haram? He said not many of the people know about them. The part of the hadith that the Shaykh quote, فَمَنْ وَقَعْ فَمَنْ يعني مَنْ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ, yani whoever protects himself from the shubuhat, then he has protected his honor and his deen, and whoever fell into the shubuhat fell into that which is haram. And he said that this hadith resembles that hadith. Why? In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever protects themselves from shubuhat, yani from doubtful matters, then they have protected their honor and their deen. And whoever goes into engaged in those things that are doubtful will fall into that which is haram. Question number 6, mention the meaning which these two hadith point to. Yani the meaning that both of them point to concerning that which is dubious or unclear and that which is haram. Naam, Abdul Wali.
He who stays away from that which is dubious or unclear protects his deen and his honor. And whoever falls into the shubahat falls into the haram. Those who have taqwa will stay away from the shubahat.
Those who have taqwa, then they will stay away from the shubahat. Now, you want to add to that? Okay, so the Shaykh, he said, though, an important statement that is really, many a few words, but of extreme importance. He said that the person who has taqwa, and who avoids those things, the person who has taqwa, then he must, it is incumbent, it is befitting of him to avoid taking the wealth that has shubha, doubt in it, in the same way that it is haram for him to take from that which is haram. And in the same way that a person considers it, yani, something that is no question about entering into that which is haram, he said in the same way that which contains doubt, yani, the person who has taqwa, they will protect themselves from it, they will avoid it. So the way you look at that which is haram, you're definitely not going to consume it, the same way you look at that which is doubtful. So these two, this is the meaning that both of these hadith yani share. Question number 7, what did Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma say to those who violate the obvious haram and then profess cautiousness in fine points of shubuhat? What did Umar say to the people of Iraq? What was the statement of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhu manam? Annahuma rihanataya fi dunya. Yani, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, these people are asking me about the blood of a mosquito. Yani, they are concerned about this. Yani, what is its legal ruling? And they are the people who killed the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Husayn. They weren't asking any questions about was it lawful to kill him or not. He said, and I heard the Prophet ﷺ said that these two, yani Al-Hasan Al-Husayn, radiallahu anhu, that they are rehana taya fi dunya. They are my two, yani beautifully fragrant flowers in this world. Yani endeared to the Prophet ﷺ. And this is important, yani this point here that the Shaykh is making here is that how can people engage in that which is openly, obviously, unquestionably haram and then be worried about fine matters like the blood of a mosquito? The last question, mention two of the fawaid, benefits which are derived from this hadith. Two of the fawaid that are derived from this hadith. مساوي الطالب.
Incumbent to leave that which is doubtful and turn to that which is not.
يعني incumbent, it is يعني obligatory of us on us to leave that which is doubtful and instead to take that which has no doubt. And the second point, the what?
Leave doubtful as a means of means of rest for the soul.
Now, leaving that which is doubtful is a means, يعني is a cause of the soul being at rest. Is the cause of the soul being at rest and to save a person from being, يعني falling into uneasiness. And a third point that we mentioned, it wasn't from the Sheikh, but it was from another explanation. Naam?
The human is commanded to distance oneself from that which makes the soul uncomfortable.
The human being is commanded to distance themselves from that which makes the soul uncomfortable, which causes doubt, which causes any uneasiness. How do we understand that? That the human being is commanded to distance themselves from this? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Da'a. That's a command. Right? That's the command. Da'a ma yuribuka. So that means we are commanded, ma'amur, to leave that which causes you to have uneasiness and discomfort and doubt and unrest. The hadith tonight is hadith, as I was reminded, hadith number 12, al-hadith al-thani ashara from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. And this hadith is an Abi Hurairata, radiyallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه حديث حسن رواه الترمذي وغيره. يعني this hadith narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, his name is
Abdurrahman
bin Sakhr رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من حسن إسلام المرء. This hadith is just a few words, again, like last week's hadith. And for that reason, it is incumbent upon every one of us to make an effort to memorize it. Yani, it's not even 10 words. So I hope somebody, inshallah, is going to recite tonight last week's hadith or this week's hadith. The first part of the hadith, من حسن إسلام المرء. Second part of the hadith, تركه ما لا يعنيه. يعني, the apparent meaning of this hadith is that من حسن إسلام المرء, يعني from that which is a part of the حسن, the goodness of a person's Islam, is that he leaves, he abandons that which لا يعنيه, that which doesn't concern him, that which is not important to him, that which يعني is not going to be the means of the completion and perfection of his deen. He leaves that which يعني doesn't concern him, that which will cause a defect in his deen. It will not help him in his deen. Rather, it will cause problems in the deen. That from the husn of Islam of a person, and what indicates the goodness of their Islam, the perfection and completion of their Islam, is that they leave that which doesn't concern them. And I just want to say, before we go into the explanation, that from the obvious meanings that we that make first come to our minds is leaving that which doesn't concern you, is as we used to say years ago, 50 years ago, we used to say, mind your business. This is not the extent of this hadith, its meaning. Certainly, sure, a person should mind their business. But what does that really mean? What does that really mean? Does that mean if a person is committing a sin that you're not supposed to say anything, just mind your business? And what does that really mean? So I'm just saying here that let us pay attention to how the scholars explain this hadith so we can understand it in its fullness, which may help us to implement it, to practice it in our lives and for our families as well. So Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, yani, as we have seen until now, is giving a brief explanation of these hadith. He's giving a very brief explanation, and for that reason it gives us an opportunity to also look at what some of the other scholars said about it. He explains this hadith in 3 points, and he said that he would break down each explanation into points. And the first point, yani, is relating to the meaning of the hadith, and the second point as well, quote from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, and the third point are the benefits that are derived from the hadith. So there are really 3 areas that he addressed, And then there are three more areas that we want to take from other sources. So before we look at the first thing that he addressed, which is the second part of this hadith, the meaning of مَا لَا يَعْنِهِ, before we look at that, we want to look at a discussion concerning the first part of the hadith. What is the meaning of, يعني the first part of this hadith, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ. What is the meaning? So for this, I want to just take a look at what Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says concerning the first part of the hadith. Rather, even before that, the first point I want to take from Salih Al-Fawzan is his mention concerning yani the grade of this hadith. Yani at the end of the hadith, it says, رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديث حديث حسن حديث حديث حسن. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, said, hadithun hasanun. So the first point we want to make is, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan just summarizes, very, very brief, and if a person who's not a specialist in mustalah hadith, but they just want to have an idea, what does this actually mean, hadithun hasanun, what does that mean? So Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, and a major scholar, he summarizes in a simple fashion that everybody could understand, so that we can actually know, what is he talking about, hadithun hasanun. هذا الحديث رواه الترمذي وغيره وقال حديث حسن. الحديث الحسن هو ما دون مرتبة الصحيح. يعني the hadith حسن is that which is less than the level of the hadith that's called صحيح. It's the next level. يعني ما دون مرتبة الصحيح. وبعض العلماء يدخله في الصحيح. And some scholars have included it with صحيح. That is a part of what is considered to be hadith صحيح. Some scholars have included as part of the Sahih. وَيَجْعَلَهُ مِمَّا يُحْتَجُّ بِهِ, and they considered it to be from those evidences that we can use as a proof in our deen, that we can say something is lawful, unlawful, it's good, it's recommended, it's disliked or whatever. We can use this as a proof in our deen. Unlike the hadith that is daif, it should not be used as a proof in the deen. Then he says, لكن, yani even though some scholars have included in the Sahih and they made it as that which can be used as a proof in the deen, لكن الصحيح أرفع منه من حيث ضبط الراوي. But the hadith that's considered Sahih is higher than it from the consideration or from the perspective of what? ضبط الراوي, yani the accuracy, the precision of the memory of the narrator. The hadith of Sahih is a higher level from the consideration of what? The precision, the accuracy of the narrators, yani in their memorization, the accurate memorization of the hadith. وَأَمَّا الْحَسَنُ فَقَدْ يَكُونُ فِي الرَّاوِي خِفَّةُ الضَّبْطِ. As far as the hadith is hasan, so there might be in the yani narrator of that hadith, in a narrator from that hadith, yani خِفَّةُ الضَّبْطِ, yani that person doesn't have the highest level of precision and accuracy in their narration of hadith. Yani there's some diminished degree or lesser degree of accuracy. وَهَذَا يُنزِلُهُ عَنْ مَرْتَبِ الصَّحِيحِ. And this is what makes it to be lower than the level of the sahih. What is it? That the dubbed, the accuracy, the precision of the memory of the narrator is less than that highest level of precision that is considered to be for the hadith, the sahih. وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ نَوْعٌ مِنَ الصَّحِيحِ. Otherwise, Shaykh is saying, otherwise it is a type of sahih. And he meaning that it's a hadith that is acceptable. It can be used as a proof. Yani we have to abide by it. We can't just reject it. وَبَعْدُ الْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ. And then the next level is the hadith that is daif. That shouldn't be used as a proof. And even though some scholars said you could use a hadith that's daif in some situations, we're not going to go into that discussion right now. But yani what is yani important is that yani many of the major scholars, the most meticulous scholars of hadith, rejected it outright. And some said with some conditions, in certain circumstances, in certain situations, that yani this is not the place for discussion of it now. So this is what we wanted to say about the hadith hasan, that the hadith hasan is of a little lesser grade than the hadith the sahih due to the yani the diminished accuracy or precision of the narrator of the hadith. Otherwise, it can be included along with the sahih in terms of what is being used as a proof in our deen. The second point from Sheikh Salih Fawzan is the first statement of this hadith, which the author here doesn't actually directly address the meaning of the first words of this hadith, so we want to look at this just to be clear on what is meant by Husnul Islam al-Mar'i. So Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizullah, he says, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرعي, from the goodness or the completion or the perfection of the Islam of a person, أي يعني من حسن إسلام المرعي, he says, من تمام دينه, يعني حسن الإسلام, it means من تمام دينه, يعني from the completion and the perfection, which is a little bit more يعني on point of what is intended here. Otherwise, the goodness of a person's Islam is too general. And it's general. But here the Shaykh is saying what? من حسن الإسلام المرعي أي من تمام دينه, from the completion and the perfection. If a person wants to complete and perfect their deen, then from that which completes and perfects it is that he leaves off ما لا يعني. فدل يعني this expression من حسن الإسلام المرئي, من حسن الإسلام المرئي أي من تمام دين المرء, يعني from the completion of his deen, يعني this statement he says دل على أن الدين يكون تاما ويكون ناقصا بحسب تصرفات صاحبه. يعني this expression from the completion and the perfection of a person's Islam points to the fact that the deen, according to a person's behavior and conduct and their actions, their deen may be taman, complete and perfect, or it may be naqisan, defective and incomplete. Based on what? Based on bihasabi tasarrufat sahibihi. And based on the actions, the behavior, the conduct of the person, their deen may be tam, complete and perfect, or it may be naqis, incomplete and imperfect, defective. Well, Muslim yahtammu biikmal dinihi wa yahdharu mimma yunqisuhu. This is the end of this point. Tremendous statement the Shaykh is saying here, that this min husn Islam mar'i, yani it means from the completion and the perfection of a person's deen, and it tells us that a person's deen can be complete and it can be incomplete. And for this reason he said, wal muslimu yahtammu bi ikmal dinihi wa yahdharu mimma yunqisuhu. Therefore a Muslim should give great care and concern to the completion and perfection of his deen, because your deen can be complete and perfect or it can be incomplete. Therefore the Muslim, yani the Muslim who hasanu islamu, yani who is trying to complete and perfect his deen, he has to give care and concern to that matter. What are those things that complete and perfect his deen? وَيَحْذَرُ مِمَّا يُنْقَسُهُ. And he has to beware of and take precaution from that which causes it to be defective. I think that if we suffice with this, it will be sufficient. And if we know that our deen can be complete and perfect, or it can be incomplete and imperfect, then the Muslim who cares about himself and cares about his relationship with Allah and cares about his hereafter, then he has to give the utmost care and concern to that which completes and perfects his deen, and that is doing the things that Allah has commanded and avoiding the things that Allah has prohibited and that which is less than them. Yani doing the things that Allah encouraged, that Allah loves, even if they're not obligatory, and leaving the things that are disliked by Allah and His Messenger, even if they're not haram, and so on like this. And the Shaykh talks about this a little bit, yani in the discussion that we're going to see tonight. But what is important here is that if this was if we left with this alone, I think it would be sufficient for us to know that yes, our deen can be complete, it can be incomplete. And therefore the Muslim who cares about himself, then he's going to do what? Give care and attention and be concerned about the completion and perfection of his deen. And he's not going to take this matter lightly. Okay, so the first point from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, the brother Hafidhullah, is he says, number one, the meaning of this hadith, أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ يَتْرُكُ مَا لَا يَهُمُّهُ. Yani the meaning of this hadith is that the Muslim is supposed to abandon, is supposed to leave مَا لَا يَهُمُّهُ. Yani he replaced the meaning مَا لَا يَعْنِهِ بِوَتْ مَا لَا يَهُمُّهُ. Yani a person is supposed to leave that which doesn't concern him, meaning that which is not important to him. You must leave that which is not important. And what is not important? That which doesn't help me to complete and perfect my deen. That's not important. I'm not going to be bothered with that stuff. Especially if it not only doesn't help me to complete and perfect my deen, rather it causes a defect in my deen. The Muslim is supposed to leave that which is not important to him. Min amr ad-deen wa ad-dunya. Whether it's from the affairs of the person's religion or it's from their worldly affairs. Their worldly affairs, the job or going to school or whatever. Leave that which is not important. Fil aqwal wal afal. Whether it is speech or actions. Whether it's from worldly affairs or religious affairs. A Muslim leaves that which is not important. Yani that which is not important in Islam. Because he said what? Min husn al-Islam. So it's related to our Islam. Not what is important to my career. And it means that I have to cheat or lie or steal or and be unprincipled. But what is most important to us is that which is going to affect yani our hereafter and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَمَفْهُومُهُ yani here, he said the meaning of this hadith is that the Muslim leaves that which is not important, whether it's from the affairs of the deen or the dunya, whether it's from speech or actions. And then he says, وَمَفْهُومُهُ أَنُّهُ يَجْتَهِدُ فِي مَا يَعَنِيهِ فِي ذَلِكَ. So here, the first meaning that he gave is the mantuq of this hadith. What the actual words of what the Prophet ﷺ said. Now he says, وَمَفْهُومُهُ. That the Prophet ﷺ didn't say this, but we understood from what he said, that not only does he leave that which is not important to him, but he strives and makes an effort in that which is important to him in these things. Yani in the deen, in the dunya, in speech and actions. That he strives concerning those things that are important to him. So not only do we leave those things that are not important, but then we make an effort. We strive and struggle concerning those things that are important. Yani the performance of the 5 obligatory prayers. The fasting in the month of Ramadan. The performance of Hajj and Umrah. The reading of Quran, the memorization of Quran, the learning the deen. These are things that are important. And these are the things that we must strive and struggle with. It's not just leaving the haram and the makruh, but rather it's also doing those things that are obligatory and those things that are mustahab and those things that are loved by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first point. The second point, the second point he says, وَقَالَ Ibn Rajab رَحِمَهُ فِي جَامِ الْعُلُومُ وَالْحِكْمِ. Yani that Imam Ibn Rajab says in his book, yani which is the explanation of the 50 hadith, yani the 40 hadith Imam Nawawi in the extra hadith that he added to it, he says, وَمَعْنَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ مَنْ حَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ تَرَكَ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ مِنْ قَوْلْ وَفِعْلْ وَاقْتَصَرَ عَلَى مَا يَعْنِيهِ مِنْ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, the meaning of this hadith is that man hasana islamu, whoever has done that which completes and perfects his deen, then he leaves that which doesn't concern him, that which is not important to him, whether it is speech or action. Waqtasara, and he limits himself, he restricts himself to ma ya'anihi min al-aqwal wal-afal. He limits himself to that which does concern him, which is important to him, which does help and complete and perfect his deen, whether it's speech or actions. So a person has to not only be careful to avoid yani harming another person, hitting somebody, killing somebody, stealing something, but also what we say out of our mouth. Because this may be the cause of the person being punished more than what the person does. So here the concern is what? We have to be concerned about what we say as well as what we do. Ibn Rajab says, "Ma'ana ya'anihi." Yani his interpretation of the meaning of ya'anihi in this hadith, "Ma la ya'anihi," that which does not concern one or is not important to one. He says the meaning of ya'anihi, "Annahu tata'allaku inayatuhu bihi." Yani ya'anihi means that which a person's inaya is connected to it. Yani his great care and concern, the things that he has great care and concern for. Yani annahu tata'allaku inayatuhu bihi. ويكون من مقصده ومطلوبه. And this will be from those things that are his goals or objectives, the things that he's seeking. يعني, so he has inayah for it. He says, what is al-inayah? شدت الاحتمام بالشيء. Al-inayah is to have شدت الاحتمام, to have extreme care about something. That's what inayah. So whatever a person has extreme care about, that is what, yani, he should be involved in, engaged in. That what you have great care and concern about. He said, linguistically, يقال أناه يعنيه إذا اهتم به وطلبه. يعني, this word, inayah, is used in reference to something that a person اهتم به وطلبه, that a person gave care to, and they sought after. They made efforts to achieve that thing. And this is, and this word inayah, I don't really know a good way to explain it, but what comes to my mind always whenever I see this word is the person who goes to the hospital and is admitted because what? Because they need care. They call those people caregivers or something like that. A person needs care. But what if a person's condition is so bad? They put them in a special unit called Al-Inayah Al-Murakkaza. Yani, the place where you get intensive care. That is the condition of our deen. It requires intensive care. It's not something that we take lightly. That we just, yani, I care about it. Yani, but maybe you care about it and you leave it laying in the masjid. And a person left his telephone. He cared about his telephone, but he didn't care that much about it. He left it in the masjid. That's not our deen. We care about it so much, we don't leave it anywhere. We don't go home without it. Or we don't go out without it. We always have it with us all the time. A Muslim is concerned about his relationship with Allah and how he is observing that which is required by his deen. This is the intensive care that is required for the person who hasana islamu. Ibn Rajab says, the meaning here that a person has extreme care or concern or gives great importance to something, it doesn't mean ليس المراد أنه يترك ما لا عناية له ولا إرادة بحكم الحواء وطلب النفس بل بحكم الشر والإسلام. He said, what is intended here is not that a person يعني leaves that which he doesn't have concern or care about, or he's not desirous of, based upon his hawa or talib al-nafs. It's not based upon your desires or what your, yani, your inner self is requesting. That's not, yani, something being important is not because I desire it, even though it's not good for me. But he said, rather, what is important is that what we leave because we don't have care or desires, or we are not desirous of it, is based on the Sharia, the laws of Allah and the deen of Islam. Yani, so how we determine that something is important, that something should be given care, it is based on what Allah has legislated, based on the deen of Islam, not based on I feel like this. Because some people will say, well, I feel like it should be like this. But it has nothing to do with Islam. And that's dangerous. He said, it has to be based upon Islam. وَلِهَذَا جَعَلَهُ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is why the Prophet said, مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Yani, from the goodness, from the completion and perfection of Islam. Yani, what you care about and what you give attention to based on Islam. Not based on your feelings, your desires. وَإِذَا حَسْنَ الْإِسْلَامِ مَرَى. And if a person makes the effort to complete and perfect his Islam, if a person does so, he said, تَرَكَ مَا لَا يَعْنِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفَالِ. And then in that case, if a person has no Islam, then he leaves that which doesn't concern him, that which is not important to him based on Islam. Speech and actions. Then he says, فَإِنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ يَقْتَدِي فِعْلَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. Islam necessitates, it requires that we do those things that are obligatory. Islam requires that of us. كَمَا سَبَكَ ذِكْرُهُ فِي الشَّرْءِ الْحَدِيثِ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And this has been mentioned previously in the discussion of the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. وَإِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ الْكَامِلَ الْمَمْدُوحُ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ تَرْكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. And the Islam that is complete and that is praiseworthy also includes leaving off the muharramat. So Islam requires us to do those things that are the wajibat, obligatory duties, and it also, and also included in that, is that a person leave off the things that are forbidden, that are illegal, that are unlawful. كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani leaving off the things, I was using this telephone today and I said, I hope this telephone don't ring when I come to masjid. Because you know I'm not used to carrying a telephone. Allahu musta'an. Alhamdulillah. Allah saved me from that one. The Islam that is complete and perfect and praiseworthy requires of us to abandon that which is haram. Not just to do that which is obligatory, but also abandon that which is haram, as it has been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith, where he said, listen to the wording of this hadith, al-Muslim. And keep it in mind, min husn al-Islam, right? Al-Muslim. Al-Muslim alladhi hasanu islamu. Yani the Muslim who's actually practicing Islam, he said, al-Muslim, who is the Muslim? Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. The Muslim who's practicing Islam is the one who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand, from his speech and his action. So this is a part of Islam that's required. If a person hasan al-islamu, it means that he's required then to be careful what he says and to be careful what he does. Al-Muslim, yani the real Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisani wa yadi. The other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Now, why is this hadith so important? Especially in this time that we're living in, because today we found that some Muslims don't have any control over their tongue or their hands. Yani they harm Muslims, they kill Muslims. Let's not take it to that level, let's just go to the people who are not killing Muslims. But the tongue is killing Muslims' honor. Yani not just saying something about a person that shouldn't be said, but actually lying on people. وَالْمُسْلِمْ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. Just think about that for a minute. The Muslim, the real Muslim, our Prophet ﷺ said, is the one that Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Doesn't mean that a person who does wrong can't be criticized. It doesn't mean that. But there are laws, there are rules, there are regulations that we have to follow. It's not just recklessness, just slandering and backbiting and lying on Muslims. Just because, yani, there's no Sharia court here to take somebody to court to get them whipped. Because in the Sharia, you will get whipped. Whipped with lashes. But that's not going to happen here, right? So people have no fear of what they say against the other Muslims. Wallahu musta'an. The Shaykh says, as I mentioned in this hadith, he says, وَإِذَا حَسَنَ الْإِسْلَامِ اِقْفَضَى تَرْكَ مَا لَا يَعَنِي كُلَّهُ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ والمشتبهات والمكروهات وفضول المباحات الذي لا يحتاج إليها. So if a person does well in the Islam, yani strives at completing and perfecting the Islam, this necessitates that they leave off everything that doesn't concern them. All of it. The muharramat, things that are outright haram, والمشتبهات, things that are dubious and doubtful, we're not really sure about them. والمكروهات, and the things that Allah and His Messenger haven't said they're haram, but they are disliked, distasteful, yani detestable, leaving them. And not only that, وفضول المباحات التي لا يحتاج إليها, and even the excessiveness of things that are permissible, which there's no need for, also we leave that. Yani فضول المباحات, yani those things that are permissible, but engaging in them excessively, while there's no need for them. We also leave that. Al-Muharramat, Al-Mushtabihat, Al-Makruhat, وَفُضُولُ الْمُبَاحَاتِ الَّذِي لَا يُحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ. فَإِنَّ هَذَا كُلُّهُ لَا يَعْنِي الْمُسْلِمُ إِذَا كَمُلَ إِسْلَامُهُ وَبَلَغَ دَرَجَةَ الْإِحْسَانِ. So indeed, all of this, these things, they are not of concern to the Muslim. They are not important to the Muslim. These are things that he leaves, or that she leaves. if that person has completed and perfected their Islam, and if they have reached the level, darajatul ihsan, the level of ihsan. And we talked about this hadith in detail, right? Yani when the angel Jibril came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, what is Islam? What is Iman? What is ihsan? So the person leaves all of these things. If they have completed and perfected their Islam, yani if they have reached the level of ihsan. And then he defines, what is ihsan? He said, it is that you worship Allah the Most High as though you are seeing Him, as though you actually see Him. Yani with the heart. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَرَاهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَاهُ. And if you cannot reach that level where you by your heart, the level of iman and taqwa and consciousness of your heart, where you are actually seeing Allah through the heart, by the heart, if you can't reach that level, then the next level is what? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَاهُ. Then know that Allah sees you, that Allah is watching you. Then he says, in reference to this definition of ihsan, he says, فَمَنْ عَبِدَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ إِحْتِحْضَارِ قُرْبِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَتِهِ بِقَلْبِهِ. This is one level. Whoever worships Allah, calling to mind, being fully conscious of His nearness to you. Person is conscious that Allah is near. وَمُشَاهَدَتِهِ بِقَلْبِهِ. And the person is witnessing Allah by their heart. Yani the level of the iman, of the taqwa, of the consciousness, of the knowledge of Allah is such that a person witnesses Allah by the heart. That's one level, he said. Whoever worships Allah like that, or if they couldn't reach that level, then the next level, ihsan, ala istihdar qurbillah minhu wa tila'ihi alayhi. Yani that a person has then, if they couldn't reach that level, then they are fully conscious and aware and calling to mind all the time the nearness of Allah to them, and that Allah is watching over them. That Allah is watching over them. Whoever worships Allah like this, either this one or the other one, فَقَدْ حَسَنَ إِسْلَامُهُ. Then this person has completed and perfected his Islam. وَلَازِمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَتْرُكَ كُلَّ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَيَشْتَغْلْ بِمَا يَعْنِيهِ فِيهِ. Then whoever have done this, who worship Allah like this, they have completed and perfected Islam, and this necessitates, requires, makes it obligatory that they leave off everything that is of not their concern, that is of not importance to them in Islam, and that they busy themselves, occupy themselves with that which is of importance to them in Islam. فَإِنَّهُ يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْ هَذَيْنِ الْمَقَامَيْنِ الْإِحْتِحْيَاءُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَتَرْكُ كُلُّ مَا يُسْتَحْيِ مُسْتَحْيَ مِنْهُ. نعم. كُلُّ مَا يُسْتَحْيَ مِنْهُ. So what is the result? What is produced by these two stations? The station of the one who is conscious of Allah to the extent that they are witnessing Allah by their heart, or the station of the one who is conscious of Allah to the extent that they are aware that Allah is watching them all the time. He said that these two stations produce al-istihya min Allah, that a person has haya from Allah, that they have, yani, I don't know if there's a good word to use here, but generally we say haya is shyness, or something like this. The point is, what istihya min Allah is, that a person feels something about the way they act and the way they speak and who they are with and where they go when they know Allah is there, that Allah is watching them. A person has a consciousness that makes them feel ashamed, feel bashful, feel shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this requires that a person leaves that which they are shy from, that they are ashamed of in front of Allah, that they leave that. Yani a person is not conscious that Allah is watching them and still does something that is shameful. They lie, they steal, they cheat, they commit zina. How can you do that? The person who has this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and istihya min Allah, then it is required that they leave that thing about which they feel shy, that they feel bashful, that they feel ashamed of in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know the time is getting very close. Before we look at the benefits, the last point that the Shaykh mentions, I'm going to just take a quick look at what Shaykh Salih Fawzan says concerning the main part of this hadith. Yani leaving that which does not concern you. He said that the meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying leave, yani tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi, that person who hasana islamuhu, he leaves that which is not important to him, mimma yunqisu din al-islam. He leaves that which, those things which cause a defect, decrease in the perfection of his Islam, of the person, din al-insan, I'm sorry. Yunqisu din al-insan. Yani he leaves those things that cause a defect in the deen of a person. That he doesn't enter into those things that are not from his affairs, that are not particular to him, that he hasn't been assigned to attend to, neither by the Sharia. And he's not required by the Sharia to attend to this thing, like al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, if a person has the authority and the ability. And he's not assigned by the Sharia to do this thing, nor is he assigned by the people. Nobody assigned him to do this. Who asked you to go over there and take this and do this? Who asked you to do that? And then you made a mess. Nobody asked you to do that. He said he doesn't enter into those things that are not from his affairs, that are not particular to him, that he hasn't been assigned with. What is incumbent upon the human being is that he give attention to his deen. That he give attention to his deen. And that he doesn't give attention to that which doesn't contain any fa'ida. There's no benefit in it. So why are you wasting your time with that? Something that he has not been made responsible to look into. He doesn't attend to that. And in this way, he is relieved and at rest, and the people are also relieved. So if, the Shaykh says, this is an important point, فَلَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسِ سَلَكُوا هَذَا الْمَسْلَكَ الْعَظِيمِ لَحَصَلَ الْوِئَامُ وَالْوِفَاقُ وَالْمَحَبَّةُ. That if the people were to follow this tremendous path of traveling, then we would have achieved, yani, harmony and agreement and love amongst the people by following this way. However, there are some people who are just nosy, yani who are extra curious, who have to know everything that's not necessary to be known. And they enter into every affair that is not particular to them and that they have not been assigned to deal with. And they ask many things that are not necessary to be asked. And they looking into the events and the occurrences that took place in the past, and they are not mu'ahal. They are not qualified to be looking at those events. And what happened between the companions, the battle that took place between this one and that one. And they are not qualified to be looking at this thing, nor have they been made responsible to look into it. Either they are not qualified to understand the rulings and the rules and guidelines concerning these things, and what was the objectives and goals, or maybe they are qualified, but nobody has asked them to look into this. Yani, rather, this is something that should be attended to by the people who are in authority. Okay, so, now, there's the points now that the Shaykh said derived from this hadith. The points derived from this hadith, he said there are four. And we're going to mention one more point, which came from what we read earlier from Shaykh Salih Fawzan. I want to add that to the benefits of this hadith, because tremendous benefit. From the benefits of this hadith, number one, تَرْكَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا لَا يَعْنِهِ فِي أُمُورِ الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا. That a person must abandon and leave whatever it doesn't concern him, whatever is not important in the affairs of his deen and his worldly affairs. Number two, istighal al-insan bima ya'anihi min umur dinihi wa dunyahu. That a person should be occupied and busied with that which is of concern, which is of importance in the affairs of his deen and his dunya. Number three, anna fi tark ma la ya'ani rahatan li nafsi wa hifdhan li waqtihi wa salamatan li 'irdihi. Yani that a person leaving off those things that does not concern him leads to him having rest and comfort of his soul. He's at rest, so he's not bothered with things that are not his affair. وَحِفْظًا لِوَقْتِهِ. And the preservation of his time is not wasted in things that are not his responsibility. وَالسَّلَامَةً لِعِرْضِهِ. and also the safety and security of his honor. And he's protected and preserved by him not going into affairs that are not his affair. The fourth point, tafawutu an-nas fil Islam, yani the difference or the disparity, the inequality of people in their Islam. That people are not equal, that there are differences. People are on different levels, some of them superior to others. And this is understood from what? Tafawut an-nas fil Islam, yani min husn al-Islam. Yani, so there are some people who have completed and perfected their Islam or striving towards it, and the other people who do the opposite. So people are not the same, even though they may all be Muslims. And the last point, I want to remind us of what we read from Sheikh Salih Fawzan. He said in his explanation of what is the meaning of husn al-Islam mar'i, he said, min tamami dinihi, that it means from the completion and the perfection of his deen. He said, this is an indication that the deen may be tam, perfect and complete, or it may be naqis, imperfect and incomplete, in accordance with a person's actions, conduct or behavior. So therefore the Muslim must have great concern and give care to the completion of his deen, and he must take every precaution from that which causes it to be defective. I'm going to close with this point. Let's see how much time we actually have left. We have 10 minutes, 9 minutes, or 8 and a half minutes. Allahu musta'an. So there are some points from Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen that I thought were of importance in his explanation of 40 hadith. I'm going to try to take from them. He says one point that he mentions is that whoever is occupied with that which is of not concern to him or of importance to him, then this, yani, then his Islam is not going to be very good. And this is what occurred to many of the people. You find them talking about everything that does not concern them. They go to a person and ask about everything that is none of their business. And they enter into every affair. And all of this is an indication, a person acting like that, he said, وَكُلُّ هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ضَعَفْ الْإِسْلَامِ. This is an indication of the weakness of their Islam. And a person has to ask himself, do I act like this? That is an indication that I need to take control of myself. This is an indication of weakness of a person's Islam. Then the Shaykh says, and this is the, and he mentions a number of points, but I just want to mention this point. He said, it's incumbent upon the human being to go after and seek the mahasan of his Islam, yani the good aspects of his Islam, the praiseworthy, virtuous aspects of Islam. He should go after those things. And he should leave those things that are not important so that he may be at rest. Because indeed, if he occupies himself with that which is not important, and that is which is not his concern, he will only tire himself out. And here he said, comes the ishkal, yarid ishkal. Yani there's a question that people might have doubt about, this matter. About, yani, occupying yourself with that which concerns you and leaving that which does not concern you. He said, هَلْ تَرْكَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَا يَعَنِهِ هُوَ تَرْكَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَنَحْلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Yani, a person leaving that which is not his concern, does this mean that he gives up, that he abandons enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong? The answer is no. It doesn't mean that. And that's because enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is from that which concerns the human being, the Muslim, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there must be from amongst you a group of people who call, who invite to the khayr, that which is good, and they command the ma'ruf, and they yani prohibit the munkar. Yani they enjoin what is good and they forbid what is wrong. So a person should not imagine leaving with that which doesn't concern me means let people do whatever they do, he's doing him, or he's doing, I'm doing me, or however they say it, I know something like that. He shouldn't think like that. Rather, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is part of what we should be concerned about. He said also related to this is connected to a person's family and their sons and their daughters. Yani the person who's the head of the house must direct them to the khair, and he must command them to do it, and he must warn them against evil, and he must prohibit them from it. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Yani, oh you believe, save yourselves and your families, your wives and your children, from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. And this is, I guess, what we can just close with, final closing from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. He said, this hadith is hadithun azeemun wa manhajun qawiyun. Yani, this is a magnificent hadith, and it is also an upright, straight way of acting, a manhaj, yani a methodology that's upright. This hadith is a tremendous hadith, but it's a manhaj, that it's an upright manhaj. If the people, if every Muslim were to travel on this manhaj, la hasala fi dhalika al-khayru al-kathir, then a lot of good would have been achieved. When halat al-mashakil, and the problems would have been solved. وَتَعَالَفَتْ الْقُلُوبِ, and the hearts would have been joined together. وَتَعَاوْنَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ, and the Muslims would be in cooperation with one another in their affairs, if people were to follow this path. However, if they allow things to be just become chaotic, and every person enters into that which is not his concern, then حَصَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ الْفَسَادُ وَالشَّرُ, then corruption and evil will occur. وَاخْتِلَافَ الرَّأِي, and differences of opinion will occur. وَعَدَمْ أَثِّقَ بِأَهْلِ الْحَلِّ وَالْعَقِدِ, and there will be no trust in the people in authority and the people of power in the society and those who are responsible, مَسْؤُولِينَ, on the affairs of the Muslims. There will be no trust left in those people. And then فَوْضَ, chaos and confusion will spread amongst the people. And this is what we have found amongst many of the people today. You find them even in the masail al-ilm al-sa'aba, yani difficult, major issues of knowledge that nobody can enter into except kibar al-ulama wal-a'imma. You find tajidu sigar al-tulab al-muta'alimin yatadakhaluna fiha wa yuhilluna wa yuharrimuna wa yuftuna bighayr al-ilm wa bighayr basira. In these major matters, even that the major scholars, yani, are the only ones who really can address and look at and examine and understand, you find small students of knowledge, muta'alimin, yani people who are pretending to have knowledge. You find them entering into these affairs, declaring what is lawful and what is haram, and giving fatwa without knowledge and without insight even to understanding these affairs. فيجب أن يتخذ هذا الحديث منهجا ومسلكا لكل مسلم متعلما كان أو جاهلا. Therefore, it is obligatory upon us, yani every Muslim, the one who is seeking knowledge and the one who is ignorant, the knowledgeable person and the one who doesn't have knowledge, to take this hadith as a manhaj and a maslak, yani a methodology to follow in our life and a path to travel بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any question about what we talked about tonight, anything that we left unclear, we can take a question. Otherwise, if not, then we're going to open the floor, yani just the 2 minutes that we have or 3 minutes that we have remaining for recitation. Who wants to recite the hadith from last week? One? Anybody else? Two? Anybody else? Okay, so you have all the time that's remaining between the two of you to recite the hadith from last week. We're not allowing you to enter into this. Now, who wants to go first? Elders. Fadl.
And Abi Muhammad al-Hassan bin Ali bin Abi Talib Siddi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa bin Hamati radiallahu anhuma Afidu من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء يريبك
ما يريبك دعا ما يريبك
يريبك وما لا يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك.
طيب شيء طالب